Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, episode number 42, we'll talk about my trip to Houston, my disappointment with macarons, a book recommendation, and the reminder that athletes are people too. So, listen up. Podcasting on the go today, live from Houston. Got my portable set up today, and I'm recording this from my hotel room in downtown Houston. I'm in town for a conference, the National Association for Drug Court Professionals, National Association of Drug Court Professionals Conference in Houston. It's their annual training conference that brings together thousands of people that work in the drug court system. And I had the privilege last year of speaking for this conference, and this year they brought me back. So I'm really grateful to the coordinators of the conference, especially Terrence Walton, the chief operating officer, who extended the invitation for me to come this year. I had a great 2 days at the conference. Yesterday, I gave a 3-hour skill building session, and today I had about an hour and 15 minute slot. Man, I cut it down to an hour. We were rolling in there, and both sessions were talking about leadership. And my time in Houston reminded me, as it often does whenever I speak, it reminded me of really the privilege, the blessing that I have to share my gift, to share my talent with the world. I mean, I get to travel and speak about a topic that I'm passionate about and that resonates with so many people. One of the things as a speaker that you have to kind of keep in mind is you have to build yourself up for the moment and don't take any opportunity for granted. So in my session yesterday, it was a 3-hour session, and I really misjudged the attendance of that session. I thought we were going to have a couple hundred people in there. I think I printed like close to 300 handouts. And I think we had maybe somewhere around 100 people show up to that particular session. We had a really good time. I had a great time with the attendees that were there in 3 hours. And I had it for had them for 3 hours. And 3 hours is really tough, especially at something like a conference at this level with tons of different sessions going on. Sometimes it's hard to hold people's attention for multiple hours, but I think we did a pretty good job of it. Now, yesterday evening, it was a Wednesday night, I went to a local church, maybe about 25 minutes away. And I did a session with their young adults on spirituality, personal spirituality and life balance for their young adult leaders. And we had a great, great time. It allowed me to tease out some of the content that I was going to be sharing in today's session. Now, Wednesday morning there were 100. Approximately 100. Wednesday evening, maybe about 15, 20 individuals. My session today, there were maybe about 700 to 800 people in the room. Now, if you were in the session yesterday morning with 100, if you were in the session yesterday evening with 20, or you were in the session today with between 700 and 800 people, I don't know. Look on my Instagram and tell me how many people you think were in the room. You would not be able to say that I was a different person. I didn't treat the 100 different than the 20 different than the 700 and 800. Yeah, maybe the volume of my voice changed depending on the size of the room that I was in. But I did my very best to give every room, every slot, every session, the most of me, the most that I had to offer. And what I realize is that some of us are not growing as leaders is because we're not giving people the best that we have to offer, depending on where we are. So we have this small responsibility. We have this small charge that we're put to manage. And because we don't think of it as a huge opportunity, or we're just waiting around before we get a sizable responsibility, we take that smaller opportunity for granted. We don't give it everything that we got. And I'm telling you, it's really difficult to move from one level to the next. It's really difficult to move from one from one position to the next, from one set of responsibilities to the next. It's really difficult to move from one section of life to the next if you are not maximizing and doing the very best that you can on the level that you are at. I don't know what you're saying. You know, from the outside looking in, Pierre, it seems like you got so many things going for you, so many things going well. What you see on social media, you really see highlights. You see highlights of maybe the last 6 months or so, maybe the last year or so, where some things have started to click and some doors have opened and some people have prayed for me and allowed me to get to certain spaces. That's what you see. You don't see the kid, the young man in 2012 that was struggling to start this thing, that couldn't get anybody to pick up the phone, that had people respond, that said, you know, we're not interested or we don't book speakers. But then you follow up with them or check out a flyer or promotional where they're bringing in a speaker. And sometimes that stings. It stings so much, but you got to keep at it. And this is what I learned to do. I learned to do my best wherever I was. If I was at a church and there were four people there, I gave it my best. If I had a small speaking engagement, I gave it my best. If I was in a college classroom with 30 people, I gave it my best. And those things build up over time. And this is what happens, because you put yourself out there and you say, hey, somebody pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. I'm a writer, or I'm a caterer, I'm a photographer, I'm a DJ, I can plan events, whatever you say you do. This is what people do. They check you out. A lot of people Google you. They Google you and they ask around, and they ask other people to Google you and ask around. And you'd be surprised, in the industries and spaces where we work and the circles that we move in, you'd be surprised how information about you travels. And people want to know, hey, I mean, I'm going to invite this person to cater this big event. And if the response comes back, I don't know, because I had them cater my birthday party. They didn't do a very good job. The food didn't arrive as planned. It didn't taste that good. Whatever it was, if that's the knock, if that's what people say about your name, it's probably going to be a very slim chance that you level up and that you get that next opportunity. So you got to ask yourself, this level that I'm seeking, can I be trusted to be on that level? And if I can't be trusted now to be at the next level, what are some of the things that I can do to cause people to trust me a little bit more? Well, speaking of trust, I was trusted not too long ago to visit the great state of Washington State, on the other side of the country from where I live, close to Washington, D.C. And they reminded us, you know, we're the real Washington, or the better Washington. Great time out there in Washington State, a beautiful place out in the mountains near Lake Chelan. Had the opportunity to speak for a half day conference to district court managers, talking about just leadership principles. You know, my topic is the same. I can nuance the topic, but that's my thing. I niche down and I talk about leadership wherever it lands. So I had the opportunity to hang out at Lake Chelan for a couple of days, and I did a half day session with district court managers. I think of maybe about 120 people in the room. Great session. Beautiful, beautiful resort. The Campbell's Resort on Lake Chelan, overlooking the lake. Gorgeous, picturesque. I had got some great shots of the lake. And after my time there, which we had a really good time talking about wrestling with these leadership principles, and I flew home. I flew from Wenatchee, a small airport, to Seattle Airport. And the Seattle Airport, I noticed on my way out to Lake Chelan, they had a stand for macarons. That's me trying to fake a French accent. Okay. I don't know. Macarons. You Google it, you'll see. And I thought it was macaroons, but it's not macaroons. It's macarons. Macarons. However you pronounce it. And my daughters like to watch cooking shows and bakery shows and just show Food Network. They love that stuff. So they would see these baking competitions, these cooking competitions, culinary shows. And they said, man, we want to try macarons. We want to try them. And when I saw them in the airport on the way to my speaking engagement, I said, you know what? I'm going to get these macarons for my daughters. And I planned it out. And on my way in, I was in the Seattle airport and I stopped by the stand. And the young lady that was there was really nice. She helped me pick out an assortment of 10. 10 for $20. And these things were small. They were a little bit bigger than bite sized. They were small. And I was so excited to take these back to my kids. So excited. So I get on the plane and it's about a 6-hour flight from one side of the country to the other. I mean, just, man, I was tired. I was really tired. Oh, and I put the bag underneath the seat in front of me on the plane. Yep, and I know what you're already thinking. You're already at the end of this thing. You're already at the end of my story. But just wait. Let me tell the story. 6-hour flight, I think it was like 5 hours and 43 minutes. You can just round it up to 6. Extremely long time to be on the plane. We finally land in the Baltimore airport, and everyone is just irritated. You know, 6 hours cramped up in a space like that, you're just ready to get out. You're ready to get out of the plane. You're ready to keep it moving. And I was at the back of the plane, so I wasn't necessarily in a rush, but I was ready to get off the plane. So finally, because there's an etiquette, and if people are flying for the first time, they don't really know the airplane etiquette. You're not really supposed to rush as soon as the plane lands. You're not really supposed to rush to the front of the plane. The unwritten rule is you're supposed to let the rows dismiss row by row by row. And when it finally comes to your row, then you're supposed to go. But, you know, some people, they don't know the airplane etiquette or whatever. They really had somewhere to go. So finally, back of the plane, got off the plane, you know, had carry-on luggage. I try to pack light. I try to pack simple. I try to pack everything in a carry-on. And I head out of the airport. My wife's there to pick me up. And we're driving home. And we get home and I get my bag out of the car and I sit down. And I'm horrified. I'm horrified because I forgot the macarons underneath the seat in front of me on the plane. I mean, I had this excellent buildup that I was going to do for my daughters and share this with them as they've been waiting for this for a long time. But when the plane landed, even though I wasn't in that much of a rush, when the plane landed, the only thing that I was thinking about was getting out of that space. And my thoughts hinged on getting out of that space so much that I forgot something that was so important that I wanted to share with my daughters. Now, a couple of days later, we found a nearby bakery that sold macarons, and it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. I tried. They were disappointed. I was disappointed. My wife was disappointed. It just wasn't the same. And here's the lesson in it for us, especially as leaders. The lesson is sometimes we can be in such a rush to get to the next place. We can be in such a rush to get to the next level. We can be in such a great pursuit of the next idea or the next opportunity that we end up leaving some pretty good things behind. We're in such a rush that we end up leaving some pretty good things behind. As you're transitioning, some of you are in the job search. You already have a job and you're looking for another job and you've interviewed and you're getting ready to make that transition because they've hired you and you're in this rush. But as you're transitioning, ask yourself, what are some of the things about this job that I need to take with me? Maybe not stuff, because that probably is stealing. But what are some of the ideas? What are some of the lessons? Even what are some of the work relationships that I picked up at this current job that I don't need to leave behind? Who are some of the people that I need to stay in contact with, that I need to stay connected with, that I need to reach out to? I know sometimes it's a toxic work environment and it's challenging and you don't want to be there, but there's something about that environment in many cases, something about that environment that has grown you, that has stretched you, that has made you a bit more resourceful, a bit more creative, and has actually been the leverage point for you getting this next opportunity. But sometimes we're in such a rush to get out of here, to say bye. We're in such a rush to quit. We're in such a rush to move on that we end up leaving some very important things, some very beneficial things, or some things that mean a lot to us. We end up leaving them behind. So don't be like me. Don't be like me leaving these macarons. Listen, I'm pronouncing it like this because I just watched a YouTube video for about 5 minutes to figure out how to pronounce this thing. Okay. Don't be like me and leaving the macarons on the plane because you're in such, you have just such a strong desire to get off the plane. Don't leave some of the good stuff behind. Well, I started reading a book that my wife gave me a while ago. And sometimes it takes me a while to get around to my new books. I have so many books, and I've told you before, I'm really banned from bringing books into my house. My wife has put a moratorium on books, so I got to kind of sneak them in. But she brought this book for me. She bought this book for me, Boundaries for Leaders by Dr. Henry Cloud. I love this book. I started soaking it up on the plane, started writing in the book, underlying, scribbling, taking notes in the margin. The book was really, really speaking to me. And Dr. Henry Cloud is, I believe he's a psychologist. He has a clinical psychologist and is a leadership consultant. And for about 30 years, he's been working with CEOs and high performance leaders to really help coach them to getting to that next level. So I love this book, Boundaries for Leaders. He's got another book out called Boundaries. I'll put this in the show notes because you want to get both of these, Boundaries and Boundaries for Leaders. But there are a couple of things in this book, Boundaries, that really stuck out to me. And I'll just share some of them with you. I won't share enough to ruin the book for you. I'll share enough to really just whet your appetite. And then you got to go read the book for yourself. Okay. Now, one of the things that Dr. Cloud points out in the book is that as a leader, as an individual working with teams, as someone who's pulling projects together, this idea of that you can have the best strategy, you can have the best implementation plan, you can have a compelling vision. You've casted a clear vision for your organization, and you can have all the right people, the smart people, the gifted people, the talented people. You can have all of those people on your team. But if you can't figure out how to get your people to work together, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how clear and compelling the vision is. It doesn't matter how strong your implementation plan is. And it doesn't matter how creative your strategy is. None of those things matter because you can't get your people to work together. And this is the thing about leadership. Leadership means dealing with people, and people can be messy. That was one of the messages that I hammered home at the conference yesterday and today, that leadership means working with people, and people can be messy. And sometimes some of the messes that we face as leaders are not, we can't put it only on the people that we're working with. Sometimes the messiness is because of us, that we're messy, we're unclear, we got emotional baggage, we got hangups, we're afraid to have the crucial conversations around things that matter. And I know I struggle with this at times as well. Having those crucial conversations around things that matter, questions of accountability and standards and what you're looking for, the finer components of leadership. And what happens to some of us is that we get into this sort of management function that says, I'll make sure it gets done because I'll do everything myself. And that leads to burnout, that leads to workplace stress, that leads to frustration. So how can you have the conversations around things that matter? And how can you create an environment? And I know when people talk, I talk to some people about leadership. I remember I gave a workshop before, and someone put in the comments, I wish that the speaker had dug a little deeper. I wish they had more insights. It seemed kind of surface. His talk was surface. And that stung a little bit. And I realized what they were saying, and I was processing it because my talk really centered around interpersonal relationships. And Dr. Henry Cloud in his book says these ideas and these principles of interpersonal relationships are just as important as strategy, just as important as vision, just as important as implementation, that this interpersonal thing, this interpersonal interrelational dynamics are so important to what we're trying to do today. So much so that when you look at LinkedIn's 2018 top top skills, soft skills that people are looking for, that companies are looking for. And I've mentioned this to you before, and I'll put it in the show notes. They're looking for people who can manage their time well, who can communicate, who can lead, who can relate to other people. And that's so important. We've lost in some ways this ability to wait, we've lost this ability to relate to other people. Now part of it is the way that we were educated. Because when you think about it, when you think about higher education or even some of our training schools and technical programs that some of you have graduated from, and you're doing really good as entrepreneurs, as masters of your craft, you're doing just a tremendous job making a name for yourself. One of the challenging things about school for many of us is this thing called group projects. And we don't like group projects. We don't like group projects because there's somebody who knows it all. There's somebody who is not consistent. They don't do their part. There's somebody who has really good ideas, but they're afraid and they don't want to speak up. There's somebody who's kind of mean, and there's somebody who's disinterested. There's somebody who you think is the teacher's pet. You have all of these dynamics in play. And then sometimes what happens is sometimes the teams fall apart because you couldn't bring the team together. Or there's one person that says, oh, I'll just do everything. I'll do the whole project. I'll do the presentation. I'll do the slides. I'll give everybody their part. I'll type up the report. And that person is so drained and frustrated and annoyed because they did all the work. And they say, I don't want to do any group projects. And they avoid the classes with group projects. And the crazy thing is, life really is one big group project after another. But higher education really socializes us to be individuals. For most of our classes, most of our training, it's your grades. You study by yourself. You take the test by yourself. You do the capstone project by yourself. You work on your dissertation by yourself. You write the proposal by yourself, and you end up being good by yourself. You get good grades by yourself. You complete the internship by yourself. And it's just you, this individualized culture of only looking at your performance. And you graduate with accolades, you graduate with honors, you graduate with endorsements and recommendation letters, and then you get a job. And in your job, newsflash, rude awakening, ding, 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 ding. You have to work with people. You have to work on teams. And all of you are smart. All of you graduated with honors. All of you were at the top of your class. All of you were excelled. All of you have great recommendation letters. But the tough thing, you spent so much time in college working as an individual, and we never taught you the importance, the value, and the necessity of being able to work together. And some people struggle. They struggle throughout their professional lives. They struggle throughout their personal lives because they have not learned to navigate the dynamics of working with people. And working with people just doesn't mean, hey, this is your assignment, this is your assignment, this is your assignment. I need you to get it done. It means learning the personalities of the people on your team, learning what makes them tick, understanding their story, understanding the things that they really care about, and plugging into those things. And we forget sometimes that everybody's kind of going through struggles and through challenges and have things that they're working out, and that this job, this project, this extracurricular activity, this church ministry project, this volunteer organization, whatever it is only a part of the fabric that makes up who they are. So how can you figure out how to better learn with, open yourself up and better learn with people? And I hear people say this all the time. I actually heard it from my Uber driver the other day. My Uber driver was telling me here in Houston how he has a friend that also drives Uber. And his friend confessed to him one day. He said, man, I do not like people. He said, man, I just want you to get in my car. I want you to shut up. I want to turn on the radio and get you to your destination. And my Uber driver said, he told his friend, bro, you're in the wrong business. Because we're not just in the transportation business. We're in the relationship business. And people can choose any service to get them from one place to another. But there's some relational aspect. You need to be open. Even if people don't want to talk, you need to be open to good conversation. You need to be open to giving directions, instructions, recommendations. You need to be open. And sometimes your lack of openness really impacts your income because it impacts your tips. It impacts your ratings. It impacts your livelihood. And he said, bro, you're in the wrong business. And some of us hide behind that. We say, I don't like people. That's usually not the case. What's usually the case is that we've had a difficult encounter with someone at some point in our lives, and it scarred us, it harmed us, it scared us. We had that difficult encounter with another human being, and instead of having to deal with other human beings, we say, I'm just going to cut everybody off. I'm going to be secluded. Maybe there's some trauma there. Maybe there was some abuse or some neglect, something unfortunate that happened to us that caused us to become real insular. And rather than deal with the uncertainty that comes with interacting with people, we try to put ourselves in places and in spaces where we can work by ourselves. Well, if you're on a team or if you serve in a leadership function, somewhere along the way, you got to develop the courage. You got to develop the courage to be around people, because leadership means dealing with people, and people can be messy. Okay, by the time you listen to this, we're on the verge of the NBA Finals. And I know I don't do a lot of sports talk on here. That's not this type of podcast. That type of podcast, it's really centered around leadership. But I couldn't help but talk about this one element of the NBA Finals. And it's the reminder that athletes are people too. It's really easy for us in this fishbowl thing called life to look at athletes, to look at the individuals playing in the NBA Finals and talk about what they could have done, what they should have done, what makes sense. I don't think something is not connected in our brain, because we have not figured out that as much as we yell and scream and shout at the television or our phones or our computers, wherever we are watching the game or even listening to it on the radio, we have not figured out, or we haven't believed, accepted, or embraced this reality that no matter how much you yell, no matter how much you scream, some of you cuss, no matter how much you do that, it has zero impact on the game. It has zero impact on the game. From the comfort of your living room, from listening to the game in your car, that has no impact on the game. And when you cheer in adoration or in celebration of what the athletes are doing, it has zero impact on the game. And sometimes, because we're in a place, because this is entertainment, it's athletic competition, but it's entertainment. It's really entertainment. It's a money making entity. And we forget that sometimes, as much as we also forget that the athletes are people. They're real people with real lives. And the only thing that this is their job. And this is not the only thing that they care about in life. This is just a small portion or a small section of who they are. And yeah, we got our hopes and our dreams wrapped up into this stuff because we want to live vicariously through them. But there's more to them than that. And sometimes we would be better served remembering that this is their job. This is part of who they are. This is part of what they do, but it's not the sum total of who they are. I was reminded of this when I was watching ESPN the other night. Maybe it was 2 nights ago. The story of Kyle Korver, who plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and how Kyle Korver's brother this season, not too long ago, his brother Kirk Korver, he was on the organ transplant list. I believe he was scheduled to have a liver transplant, and things were going well, but before they could complete the surgery, he had organ failure, and he died. And Kyle Korver talks about he comes from, you know, a simple home, dad a pastor, brothers that like to play ball, come from a really loving family. and to watch him. And yeah, when he was in the Eastern Conference Finals and playing against the Boston Celtics, and people were cheering for him or talking about, you know, all these things, the things we say in competition, we talk about people and we try to tear them down, or we don't like their playing ability, all these things that we say that are, and many times just kind of pointless, but that's fanhood is pointless sometimes. But then to watch this story and watching this guy tear up the loss of his brother and remembering all the things that his parents have done, for him, and just his gratitude and just that centering thought of, yeah, basketball is his job. Playing for the Cavaliers is his job. And yeah, he wants to win an NBA championship, but this is only part of who he is. This is only part of his story. And there's so much more. And sometimes we have these expectations of athletes, and we get so disappointed with the athletes. We get so disappointed in our teams. And I understand it. I'm from Detroit. So I understand the team disappointment that can plague you. But sometimes we place so many expectations on our teams and on our favorite athletes because we're trying to live vicariously through them. In some kind of way, if our team wins, then we accept it as a win on our behalf and we celebrate what they do instead of looking ourselves in the mirror and asking, where are the areas of my life that I need to level up? Where are the areas of my life that I need to, that I can do better so that people see me as more than just a person going to a job that I hate or a situation that I can't stand? How can I live my life in a way that people are reminded that I'm a person, that I'm a real person with feelings and ideas and hopes and dreams? And how can I, as a leader, remind my team and the people around me that the people that we're dealing with, they're not just ID numbers. They're not just job titles. They're not just slots on a piece of paper. They are real people with real challenges, with real stories. And how can we plug into people to know their story and share stories in a way that matters? That's their challenge and that's your charge as a leader. Hey, that's all I got for this episode of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. I got some great interviews coming up, so you want to stay tuned. I hope you subscribed. I hope you've left me a review on iTunes. Leave me a 5-star review and some comments. Let people know that this podcast is making a difference in your life as we take this message of leadership around the world. And until next time, take care and God bless.